Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're plunging into performance management and measurement. Now, I know it might sound a bit like abstract business jargon, maybe a little dry.
Yeah, it can sound that way.
But our sources suggest it's actually, you know, fundamental to what makes organizations tick, or not tick, everything from your favorite local restaurant to these huge tech companies. So our mission for this deep dive, we want to pull out some genuinely surprising insights, some practical stuff you can actually use. And the material we've got is fascinating. It really ranges. We've got a student's personal thoughts, reflections on what they learned, right up to like a dramatic reality TV intervention. Okay, let's unpack this.
And that's really what it's about, isn't it? Trying to understand why some companies just seem to thrive while others, well, they stumble. And so often it really comes down to how they see performance, how they track it, and crucially, how they act on what they find. The real magic isn't just collecting numbers, right? It's understanding the story behind them, the trends, and asking those tough, actionable questions about, you know, strategy and how things are actually getting done. That's where the change happens.
Right. Actionable questions. And speaking of stumbling, one source really highlights this idea that companies can get, well, stuck, almost paralyzed when it comes to measuring performance effectively. It sounds like a pretty common trap.
Oh, it is. And the research gives us clues why management, they can find the whole job just too daunting. And it's not just the numbers, it's figuring out what they mean strategically. So what happens, often it gets pushed off onto people who maybe aren't naturally thinking about the big picture performance. They get bogged down in the data, you know. Spreadsheets, and they miss the forest for the trees, basically.
That fear, that feeling of it being too daunting, can lead right into a trap mentioned in the sources, one of the five traps of performance measurement. It actually says that measuring performance against your own past performance is a trap, which sounds counterintuitive, right? Like, shouldn't you compare to last year? Why is looking in the rearview mirror so bad?
Yeah, it seems logical on the surface, but often it comes from a fear of setting new goals. New benchmarks can feel uncomfortable, so it feels safer just to compare to what you already did. But that comfort, it costs a lot. The source gives this great example, a food service company. They'd been around for years. And instead of getting creative, figuring out how to really compete now, they just kept looking backward, measuring this year against last year, rinse and repeat.
And the impact on people was pretty bad. The author writes, this did not help morale as we continued to see ourselves as having failed our most important missions, never reaching our goals. It's
really demoralizing.
But here's the kicker. They mention that when applying certain context, the results were actually in our favor. But sadly, this was missed, as it is often in other businesses who get caught up in the data. It's amazing how getting caught up in the data like that just blinds you.
Exactly. It totally obscures the real picture, hinders progress, kills morale. You don't understand where you really stand or what you could achieve. It's not just missing an opportunity, you're actively dragging your team down.
Okay, so if looking backward is a trap, how do companies break free? How do they, you know, move forward? Our sources point to a really refreshing shift, moving away from just fixating on the raw numbers, making numbers just one part of the whole picture.
Absolutely. The modern way is much more about considering other factors, you know, looking beyond just the sales figures or the quarterly profits. It's got to be more holistic. You need context.
And one key practice that came up is how executives have now begun to include employees in decision making when it comes to measuring performance and setting key performance indicators or KPIs, those metrics that tell you if you're on track.
Yeah,
that sounds great. Really empowering for the team. But from an executive standpoint, is there a risk? Like, does it dilute accountability if everyone's setting the metrics, make them less objective, maybe?
That's a fair point. But the sources suggest it's more about collaboration when you set the KPIs, not necessarily when you interpret them or decide on consequences. The idea is to get buy-in. And when people feel ownership over the goals, you actually tend to get more accountability and not less. It sort of gives the power back to the people, as one source put it. And the business benefits because everyone's pulling in the same direction.
Makes sense. And it's not just internal stuff either, right?
Right.
The material mentioned other creative ways to get data, like data extrapolation, going beyond your own four walls. For example, reaching out to customers, like enterprise car rentals apparently do, to find out what competitors are up to, pricing, service, that kind of thing.
Right.
Or even just simple observation to see the way behaviors indicate performance measurements. watching how things actually work on the ground. It's about looking beyond the spreadsheet, isn't it?
Totally. It's broadening your definition of data. You're not just stuck with your own books. You're looking for external signals, behavioral clues. It gives you a much richer picture of performance.
Okay, and talking about not having a picture, here's where it gets really interesting. We have this stark, real-world example, mm-hmm. Paula's Family Restaurant. It comes from that reality TV show source, and wow, it really shows the consequences when there's zero performance measurement. So the scene is Paula, the owner, she's completely stuck in the past, totally afraid to change anything, upset tradition, even though her son kept suggesting things like KPIs, ways to, you know, modernize a bit.
Yeah, and when Robert Irvine, the host, showed up, his first look told the story. The place was severely outdated in decor and style, failing HVAC, moldy baseboards, just red flags everywhere. The physical mess was basically a symptom of the complete lack of business tracking.
And the operational side.
Oh, boy.
Robert was apparently fairly horrified. And no point of sale system.
Right.
Like the absolute basic tool for a restaurant today.
Unbelievable.
And Paula, she could not answer basic KPI related questions regarding overhead and menu cost or inventory. Just no idea. There was no tracking system, no recipes written down for staff to follow consistently, no cost projection on any item, nothing. Just flying blind.
Yeah. Flying blind is the right way to put it. The core issue Robert found was incredibly simple, almost shockingly so. There were no measures being taken at all. Without a POS, you can't track sales. You can't even compare to last year if you wanted to because there's no record, no baseline, no data, no way to figure out how to improve. And Paula was literally on the verge of collapse due to basic mismanagement. It's easy to look at that and think, how could that happen? But honestly, lots of organizations have blind spots like this, maybe just not quite as extreme.
Right. So, okay, how do they fix it? What were the steps to pull Paula's place back from the edge?
Well, the solutions were pretty fundamental, but game-changing for them. Paula was finally convinced, okay, they got a point-of-sale system installed. Huge step. And they documented recipes. Seems small, but that lets you measure quality control, helps the staff do their jobs right, which should increase sales. And since there was literally no benchmark in this case, no history to look back on, they decided to create one with the help of Paula's son, just starting from scratch, setting a baseline to measure against going forward.
And the result?
Well, the good news is the restaurant is actually still open. Mm. And looking at Google and Facebook reviews, it seems like they always had loyal customers, but those customers now have a new appreciation for the direction they are going. So progress.
That's great to hear. And you might be wondering, like the author of that reflection piece did, how did the staff handle the new tech, the POS system? The source does mention that, yeah, training would be really important. You can't just drop new tech on people and expect it to run smoothly. There's always a learning curve.
Always need support.
So Paula's story shows the chaos of no measurement. But then the sources also make us question what we should measure in the first place. Which brings us to this really fascinating counterpoint, the Uber example. It kind of challenges the whole idea of immediate profit being the main goal.
It really does. It's a provocative case study, for sure. Uber, as we know, has dealt with years of continuous overall operating losses, like significant losses. But their argument, their narrative, is that they believe that they are making investments and building a community as a tech company, and that the impact will come, the profits will follow eventually. They're taking risks as they continue to build their stock, playing the long game, essentially. Market dominance, user base, those seem to be their key performance indicators right now, not profit.
That Uber example really makes you think, doesn't it? Profit first isn't always the mantra. So it raises the question, how do you even measure success in a company like that? A company that's planning to operate at a loss, aiming for something else down the line. What does this all mean for how we should think about performance?
Well, if we try to connect this to the bigger picture, it really highlights that, yeah, time will tell how beneficial this is for someone like Uber. It's a gamble. But it fundamentally underscores that defining success isn't always straightforward. It can involve a really long-term strategic vision. Maybe the focus is market dominance or building a huge user base or creating that community feel instead of just hitting quarterly profit targets. It really forces you to ask what you choose to measure and maybe more importantly, why you're choosing it. It shifts the focus from just having metrics to strategically defining the right metrics for your goals.
And this isn't just for giant tech companies or struggling restaurants, right? The sources make a point of saying we should think about performance in an all-inclusive way, and that connects directly back to you, the listener, to your own experience.
Absolutely. This idea of all-inclusive thinking isn't just for organizations. It applies to us as individuals, too. It's about thinking, okay, how do I fit into the system, so to speak? How can I measure my own performance, maybe against colleagues or against my own goals, all in the interest of, you know, professional development, personal growth, and contributing to the bigger company goals? It's about that insightful self-assessment within the context you're in.
So, wrapping up, what we've really seen today is that performance management, it's definitely not just a static numbers game. Not at all. It's dynamic. It's multifaceted. It needs creative thinking, you know, a willingness to ditch old habits that aren't working anymore. And it's about finding that balance between the hard numbers and the bigger context, the human element. It's not just what you measure. It's the how and the why.
Which really leads to an important question, I think. How might redefining what you measure, or maybe even just starting to measure something totally new, something you haven't tracked before in your own life or your work, how might that uncover some hidden potential? Or maybe reveal a path forward you just hadn't even considered?
Yeah, think about that. What's one unmeasured aspect in your work or even your personal life?
Right.
What if you actually brought it into focus, started paying attention to it? What surprising insight might you gain?